Welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Don't forget, catch me Monday mornings at 6:20 to 6:30 as we talk with Jack Heath about some of the things that are going on over the weekend. Of course, it's all politics right now. We're that much closer to the election, so a lot of things to discuss. Also, I join Jack in studio, and sometimes I joust with Justin. Maybe that's the segment we should call it, Jousting with Justin, about some of the policies and politics that are going on Fridays from 7 to 8 a.m. So thanks for coming here on the weekend show. And what I want to do, we got a packed show for you. We're going to be talking with the Libre Initiative in the next segment. But of course, this next guest, a guest I love having on, a longtime resident here in New Hampshire, originally from Georgia, but we love it when they transplant and come up here to Live Free or Die Straight state. Also, certainly a police reform advocate, has been very involved in police work through his career, but also a veteran of the United States Navy, Eddie Edwards. How are you this morning, Eddie?
Great, Jeff. How are you, sir?
Outstanding. You can't complain. Of course, just to remind everybody, we pre-record the show on Saturday morning, so we got Eddie up on an early morning to talk about some of the things that are going on, especially this close to the election. You know, Eddie, you had an op-ed piece in the paper that I also appear in, and you're writing a lot. That's great. I'd love to see when your op-eds make it into the papers around New Hampshire. Before we talk about that op-ed, I want to talk about, you've been a traveling man. You've been very, very busy.
lately, yes.
We're just going to call you Ambassador Edwards, Ambassador of New Hampshire. How's that? So before we get into the op-ed, I do want to talk about, first, you were lucky to participate in the RNC convention, went down there. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, what it's like to go to a convention, some of the things that were discussed, and just general attitudes all the way around.
Well, you know, first, it was a tremendous honor to be there, and this was my first convention, national convention, and my understanding, it was a little bit different, obviously, because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the energy that was there was tremendous, you know, meeting delegates from all over the country in one room who were really focused on a message of inclusion, economic development, national security, and supporting the reelection of President Donald Trump. It was just a tremendous amount of positive energy throughout the facility.
Unfortunately, though, on the last night, there was this unfortunate series of incidents that happened. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, you guys go down to the convention, had a really good time. There were some great platform decisions being made. But unfortunately, on the last night of the last events, some people got carried away and was kind of harassing some of you.
Right. So the convention was in Charlotte, and so then the delegates moved to D.C. to hear the president's acceptance speech. And after leaving the White House, a number of people, I'd say the vast majority of people who attended, were confronted by folks on the street from Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other organizations. Some were very abusive verbally. Some were kind of physically shoved here and there. Myself, I escorted a number of people back to their hotel following the event because the law enforcement officers there were stationed throughout the city in different main sections of the streets to make sure they kept the peace. But, you know, closer to your hotel is where a lot of these groups gathered. My hotel lobby was full when I returned. The hotel that I escorted a number of people to, their entryway was full of people yelling, screaming, and it was quite difficult for a number of people, you know, to find their way back safely to their hotel.
Well, the fortunate thing, too, and once again, we're talking to Eddie Edwards. The fortunate thing is that one, you're in very good shape. And for those of you who have never seen a picture of Eddie, he's quite the gentleman, but he is in very good shape. And plus, your background as a former law enforcement came in very handy helping getting people back into that. So kudos to you for taking that extra step. And, of course, you're a gentleman, so you were going to do that anyway.
Oh, yes. It was, you know, I was happy to be able to do that, to be in a position to do that. I had a conversation with a number of law enforcement officers along the routes. Like, my hotel was literally a 10-minute walk from to the White House. It took me over an hour to get back to the hotel. And that was in large part, as I said, helping others get back to their place safely and engaging law enforcement along the way. So, you know, it was unfortunate that such a wonderful, powerful event for our country was disrupted like that at the end.
Yeah, and something that didn't happen at the Democratic Convention, by the way. You know, the other thing, too, is, hey, you get to go back to, down to your home state. So I'm sure it must be great for you every time you get to go back to Georgia, because Georgia is a really wonderful state, not as good as New Hampshire, but it's a wonderful state. You got to go down to Georgia to be part of the unveiling of the Trump Initiative, the Platinum Plan, which is just a tremendous plan. If everyone has not read it, you should read it. It's really focused in on communities in need of economic, not assistance, but economic opportunities. So talk a little bit about that trip down to Georgia and the Platinum Plan.
Oh, yeah. That again, was a tremendous, tremendous amount of energy. And this was really focused on those communities in need. And it was done with Black Voices for Trump. I'm on the advisory board, national advisory board, for that part of the re-election campaign, and being in the room again with so many people of color who are so interested in this president's leadership and supporting that leadership and supporting his re-election, and the Platinum Plan, you know, focuses putting $500 billion into these communities for economic development, educational choices. That is what's needed. And when you hear from folks like in Atlanta and across this country and inner cities, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about educational choice. They're talking about economic development. They're talking about criminal justice reform. Those are the things that the president has focused on, and that is why you're seeing an increase in the amount of support from those coming from those communities.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, too, Eddie, about that plan, once again, we're talking about the Platinum Plan before we talk about Eddie's op-ed this week, is it's not just taking a bunch of money and throwing it down to people. The thing that I found impressive about the two big things about the plan, first one is it looks at opportunity zones. It looks at actually being able to get loans to get your small business, strengthen your small business, or start a small business, which is much different than what we've seen in the past. But also the ability to go ahead and have that money brought to the community by community members. So using nonprofits that are very strong in those communities and using faith-based institutions that have a great connection in those communities to help distribute some of that money and help those businesses thrive as well.
Oh, right, right. Because I think when you look at the communities, this is what they're asking for, right? They're not asking for handouts. They're asking for economic opportunity, economic development. And they have a spirit and a desire to be entrepreneurs, develop their communities. And the best way to get, make sure the money is not being wasted, to make sure the money is getting into the right hands and the resources are actually delivering the outcomes that are desired, is to work through community-based organizations and faith-based organizations.
Which is fun. So once again, I'll post up the information about the Platinum Plan. You should read it. We should be supporting these types of plans, very conservative in nature. So, Eddie, as I said, you're writing a lot more. You landed on the same pages that my article appears in. And I love this most recent op-ed. And I'm going to go ahead and post it up on Facebook so you guys can follow it and read it. So basically, the Republican Party has literally established for Black Lives. Of course, I know you probably didn't write that headline, as I don't write my headline. They invent them sometimes. I wanted to talk a little
I actually wrote that.
Oh, did you? They kept yours. They always get rid of mine.
<'Cause>, no, you know, I actually wrote that, yes.
Yeah, because you know the problem with me is I'm not a typical writer, and my headline always has a marketing feel to it. They're like, oh, geez, Jeff, we can't say that. So good for you. You wrote one that they liked. So when we talk about this, you know, we've talked about your life story and you moving through as a in the Navy. You know, I'm sorry you joined the Navy. And I always find it, I'm kidding, of course. And then law enforcement. And so eventually, let's just be very honest, you're a conservative. And when you tell people that, they go, is the first question usually why?
Absolutely. I think most people are confused by that. And that's the narrative. That's part of the problem, right? We have created this narrative that if you're a person of color, you're supposed to adhere to a certain message, not what's in your best interest, not in the interest of what your community has gravitated towards, leaned on for decades, but you're supposed to follow a narrative that is supposed to empower you, that actually is designed to put you in a disadvantaged situation. And I think when you start to look at the policy, this is one of the things I encourage people to do. Understand the history of this country, but more importantly, understand policy development. How does those policies, when they're implemented, how does that impact your community and you as an individual?
And that's a really good point, too. Once again, we're talking to Eddie Edwards. You can catch him online. I'll post up that information as well. The thing I loved about your article, Eddie, and of course, I'm a history buff in general anyway, is it is probably one of the best history lessons I've seen in a short period of time, because you only have so many words that you're allowed to write in these editorials. It's a very good history lesson that I encourage parents to have their children to read. I don't care if you're a conservative parent, if you're a liberal parent, have them read this so that they get a better understanding. You walk through the process of, let's say, the Republican Party, and you start with its origin in 1854. And a lot of people don't know the primary reason why they were founded in 1854.
Right. And that primary reason was to stop the spread of slavery into the new territories. And one of the things that the Republican Party used at that time was the Bill of Rights, to make sure that law applied to all men and women of this country equally. That's why they were able to craft the 13th, 14th, 15th, and the 19th Amendment, giving black men the right to vote, women the right to vote. They leaned on the Bill of Rights to do that. And so when people say now that this is not the Republican Party today, it's not the Republican Party of 1854, they're mistaken. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party has never changed their views. And their views has always been support of the Constitution and adherence to the rule of law.
It's funny that you bring that up, too. I'm reminded that, you know, I did a story on Frederick March not too long ago, and how he had this disdain for the Constitution and Declaration of Independence early in his life. And then later in his life, he realized that all, especially with the new amendments and everything like that, if not for the Constitution, if not for the Declaration of Independence, the way that we were able to get past slavery as a nation wouldn't have happened. Many nations struggled with it far worse than we ever did. But as you go along, you talk about, you know, it was the Republican Party that hasn't flipped that really brought forth those key amendments that were so vital to our Constitution. And that history lesson gets lost on a lot of people, Eddie.
Well, it's not taught, right?
Yeah.
So it's not taught because it doesn't fit the narrative. The we have allowed, as a nation, for people to view Republican to equal racist. We've allowed, quite frankly, if you're a white conservative male, you're racist. Those are the narratives that have been painted largely, but it's not consistent with history. It's not consistent with logic. And so when you go back and you examine what the Republican Party has stood for, it has stood for equal treatment under the law, not equal things. And I think that's where people are confused by. My ancestors who were enslaved, those folks only wanted liberty to do for themselves. They never demanded government come in and provide aid. That was a liberal mindset created in 1964, moving forward. And by the way, most people don't realize this. Every single piece of civil rights legislation in this country's history, beginning in 1866 up until 1968, was predominantly Republicans. It was either sponsored, written, or voted in a majority by Republicans. Republicans have never walked away from making sure that all people are treated equally under the law. What they've never stood for was making sure the government provided equal things. That has never been a part of the Republican Party. And quite frankly, it is not something that people of color have ever asked for. Even now, with President Trump's platinum plan, it calls for economic development, entrepreneurship. Those are the things that those black communities have asked for. In fact, if you go back and you look, the first female millionaire in the United States of America was a black woman, born 2 years after slavery. And so if we examine our first 100 years after slavery, from 1865 up to 1965, you'll see tremendous economic growth in communities throughout this country, particularly like Black Wall Street, Jackson Ward, district. There are many different economic districts that were developed back then as well. And that is because the Republican Party has always moved for limited government, less regulations, and greater opportunity for everyone.
Once again, we're talking to Edwin Edwards. I'm going to post this article up. I highly encourage you to read it. Also, have your children read it so they understand the history. The history. Let's just talk history about where we've come from as a nation and things we should be proud of and things that we should be cautious never happen again. You know, Eddie, in this article, what I found amazing, too, is, you know, as we end getting close to the end of time, is, you know, we have two presidential candidates right now that are running, and one happened to have authored a bill in 1994, a time when you and I were both policemen, and I remember that bill very distinctly. It took all autonomy away from us on certain ways that we could regulate as a local police department. And as the year went along, and as the years went along, it turned out to be a disastrous, disastrous bill for communities, minority communities, that still is tearing them apart with that bill. And that bill was authored by Biden.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that people don't want to talk about. You know, this entire criminal justice system, modern-day criminal justice system, the 1994 crime bill had an enormous impact on that system. Mm-hmm. It's also what the president has moved to try to correct with the First Step Act. And when you look at the destruction that happened over two generations from the 1994 crime bill, you know, the fact that the Democrats have actually put forth Joe Biden as their nominee, while at the same time he's talking about fixing something he actually created. He created this nightmare of a classroom-to-prison pipeline. That's the point. And so when we start to talk about these problems and you start to examine policy, that's what I said, that's what I put in the article, if you start looking at the policies that have happened in this country, you'll see that one party has actually moved forward to try to hold people accountable but allow maximum freedom with accountability. And one party has decided to try to control your freedom, your liberty, to their gain, to their benefit. So I think as we begin to examine this, we have to be fair. We should be educating people and let people form their own opinion. And that's why I've said, don't ever take my word for it. Do the research yourself. Do the research yourself and not look for something that justifies your position, but actually read history and ask yourself, question yourself, the level of disproportionality that many people of color are facing in our country. How did it happen? It happened based upon policy. And those policies have been designed to control populations. That's one of the things I learned very early in my life, witnessing my grandmother's neighborhood. When government provides shelter, it's two forms: it's penitentiary and ghettos, government housing. And those places are very, very dangerous.
And it's unfortunate. Once again, we're talking to Eddie Edwards. I'm going to post the article up online as well. Eddie's welcomed on the show anytime he wants. Eddie, we've come to the end of the segment. Before we let you go, any last thoughts just you want to share with the listeners?
Listen, I pray for our president and our first lady. I pray for unity in our country, and I pray for a deeper understanding for all of us. And I think that begins with wanting to meet people who disagree with you, wanting to have conversations with people who disagree with you, but do it in a healthy, respectful way. That's what I pray for.
Outstanding. Eddie, thanks for taking time out of your day. I encourage everybody to read the article, and have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff. You too.
What we'll do is we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with the Alibre Initiative and talk about some of the things that they're working on for our new Supreme Court justice. All next on New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition.
You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Church, cause your mama says to visit grandpa every chance that you